Okay, welcome back. Hour number two, and Mitch Henderson is with us. We're going to learn a lot this hour about where we are. I think most of you have been following the Ukraine situation as much as you can. Top headlines, just real quickly to give you an idea. Lithuania is involved. It's not even Ukraine now. It's Lithuania. Who's Lithuania, you say? Many of you don't know. Lithuania is an Eastern European country through which railroad lines traverse from Russia to the Western Russian area, separate area, known as Kaliningrad. Well, Lithuania, following the orders of the EU and the sanctions and blockade against certain products that the Russians are not allowed to sell or move, have shut down rail transit from Russia mainland to Kaliningrad, which is also Russia. Lithuania has been warned now by Russia in writing, either stop or you will pay harsh consequences. That means an attack on an EU-NATO nation. There's your war. Lithuania expands the Kaliningrad blockade. It's getting worse. Russia demands Lithuania lift the openly hostile, it called it correctly, blockade of Kaliningrad. This is not good. It's not good at all. And it's going to get worse. Okay, you'll see it spelled wrong in many areas. It's not Kaliningrad, it's Kaliningrad. So there you go. Mitch, I don't know how much more Russia is going to tolerate before they eventually do something of great substance and shock to the world, which they have every right to do. And I just, I don't know. The Sarmat missile, the first combat-ready Sarmat missile, goes online this fall, before the end of the year. It only takes 4 Sarmat missiles with 10 warheads each, all independently directed and able to maneuver in the downward arc of their trajectory to evade upcoming anti-missile defenses. It is unstoppable. 4 Sarmat missiles. 2 will destroy the entire eastern half of the U.S., and the other 2 will take out the west. That's it. So there'll be 1 online at least before the end of the year. So I think Putin is waiting for that capability, frankly, and we may have some time because of that. We will see. Mitchell, welcome back. How does it look to you?
Well, it's there's a lot of factors involved, okay?
Many.
And I'm going to be discussing some of those. Plus, just before I came online, I received a phone call, and I got some updated information. Okay, but let me start from the beginning, because it'd be better if people understand why this is happening, you know, why we fight. Okay, so in 1991, George H.W. Bush declared the New World Order at the end of the Gulf War. The United Right. States had convinced the world to invade Iraq to kick Saddam Hussein's forces out of Kuwait. It became a unipolar world with American leadership. America's interference in everybody's business became routine. After George H.W. Bush declared the New World Order, the United States has constantly been at war, and is it still at war? So 1992 to 95, Somalia. 1992 to 2004, Yugoslavia. To include the bombing of Serbia and the unilateral creating the new nation of Kosovo from Serbian sovereign territory without UN approval and in violation of international law. 1993-95, Haiti again. 1995 to the present, Iraq. 2001 to 2021, Afghanistan. 2004, back to Haiti. 2007 to the present, Syria. 2011, Libya. We have brought peace and development to none of these nations. We have caused death by war, by starvation, by sanctions, and created tens of millions of refugees. We have brought great suffering to the people of these lands. None of them vital interests of the USA, and none of them threatening the Constitution of the United States, which soldiers take an oath to defend. There has been no war that America has ever fought to defend the Constitution. All wars were fought to enlarge the American empire and enhance American global political power.
Totally
correct. Who is the aggressor nation in the world? Who is a threat to world peace? Who sets the arbitrary and capricious rules for the international order? It is us, not Russia. Like, America declared perpetual war on the world. We were the only superpower, and we used that power to try and control the world, not for the benefit of the American people, but for the benefit of the Zionist, satanic, woke, globalist elite. The formal name of the governing ideology of the New World Order was the Frankfurt School of Freudian Marxism, which is just referred to as cultural Marxism. This included the divide-and-conquer mechanism of identity politics. We had racial identity, political identity, sexual identity, and we created many more identities by inverting reality. Men were encouraged to become women and vice versa. Young LGBT plus students became school teachers and began indoctrinating or grooming elementary school kids into the LGBT lifestyle.
Let me add something. Mitch, may I add something? U.S. Navy, our military is full of fags and losers. We don't have a military anymore. The U.S. Fruit Loops Navy realizes and releases a bizarre training video urging all recruits to create pronoun safe space for their fellows in uniform. The U.S. Navy has released a training video which looks like a children's TV show and talks to the viewers like they're little children, encouraging sailors to announce their pronouns in order to create a safe space and avoid misgendering people. Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use the he, him pronouns, states one of the presenters in the training video, which is intended to highlight the importance of using correct pronouns as well as polite etiquette when you may not be sure of someone's pronouns, according to the Navy. We don't have a Navy anymore. This is a joke. It's a joke. The world is laughing at this absurdity.
It's like, you know, if people have any concept of what war is like,
these people are going to fight. They're not going to fight.
The least of your worries, okay? There's things that are far more important.
They'll start hugging and kissing the enemy and trying to get them in some sexual position, no doubt.
Yeah,
it's sick.
So
sick.
But this is it's the Freudian aspect of the Frankfurt School of Freudian Marxism. It is the culmination of Moses Hess's communism, Zionism, and free love movement started in 1832.
Yep.
What was lost was America and the freedom that it stood for. We were supposed to be a nation of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So let's look at that, life. In America alone, we have murdered 65 million babies since 1973. You want to believe the science? It says that life begins at conception. You may be surprised that 41.9% of abortions are done by Protestant Christians, 31.5% by Roman Catholics, and only 26.6% by non-Christians and atheists. In 2021, 19,600 Americans were murdered in just 1 year. Mm-hmm. Compare that with the 7,057 soldiers killed in action in 22 years of the war on terrorism. That is a lack of policing, of arrests, of prosecutions, and of imprisonment to curtail murders. If we were an unarmed society, the number of murders would be 10 times higher because law enforcement intentionally does nothing to protect you. Intentionally does nothing to protect you. You have been on your own, especially since St. George Floyd, patron saint of criminals, died. In addition, thanks to our lack of sovereignty, as evidenced by no border protection, over 80,000 Americans accidentally died of drug overdoses, mostly by drugs smuggled freely across the Mexican border. Now, when I say accidentally, I'm not talking about people take too much fentanyl and they overdose. I'm talking about a group of young people goes down and scores an ounce of cocaine, thinking they're going to do cocaine, but that's light laced with fentanyl, and they find them all dead up in their hotel room that they rented, whatever, to party at. Okay, the American government was charged with protecting life. It is doing the very opposite. Homeland Security and law enforcement are government sham jobs. They do not want, they do not do what you pay for them to do. They are actually political police, a KGB. They protect the state, not the citizen, okay? So let's move on to liberty. The American government was ordered to protect your liberty. Yet America, by 2016, had more people in prison than any other nation in history per capita.
History.
The U.S.
Recorded known history.
More people than the USSR under Stalin, than Germany under Hitler, than China under Mao, and more than South Africa under apartheid. Add to that the imprisonment of the entire American population under the pretext of the COVID pandemic. The COVID pandemic was also used as a method to rig a national election and impose a pedophile Marxist totalitarian government on the American people. Now we have woke imbeciles deciding what you can think and say. There are consequences for disobeying. I am here to encourage you to disobey and to disbelieve the immense and overwhelming saturation of false narratives that we have brought into. It is time to wake up, America. Your nation is becoming a failed state. We are in a phase of moral decadence, oppression, and societal decay. So let's go on to the pursuit of happiness, okay? First, let me explain that the individual just defines what the pursuit of happiness is. It is not decided by the state, the church, the culture, nor the society. We now live in a dictatorship that tries to dictate what you need, what you want, and even what you are supposed to like. Consider this. You are not considered a good person as a man if you refuse to date transgender women. This is a woke criteria for being a decent human being, yet it is a moral inversion where good becomes evil and evil becomes good. This is ruled by Satan, not by any facsimile of actual freedom. The Bill of Rights was created to ensure that the individual was sacred and had dignity, so that laws could be made, but no laws were to be made to encroach upon the individual's freedoms. So laws are just supposed to exist to, like in other words, your freedom ends where mine begins, okay? Government and society existed to guarantee personal freedom. The state was to be in service to the individual, not the individual to be a servant to the state. America is now a tyranny, and you are expected to obey. There are no American citizens left. We are all just subjects to the tyrants. How did we get here? We got here through the cultural Marxist strategies of the, quote, inevitability of gradualism and the unthinking acquiescence to the culture that we're born into. Let me give you an example of how ingrained this anti-individual liberty mindset is in our society. Raymond Crabb is a professor of history at Cornell University. He has been teaching students at his Ivy League university, teaching our current and future leaders of the power structure, both public and private. So in a letter to Harper's Magazine, issue of June 2022, he writes as if it is absolute truth and dogma, complaining about Shasta County, California, wanting to succeed from California, that the reason they want to succeed is, quote, taxes, the federal bureaucracy, and any slights to individual freedom. But the freedom they sell is an anemic one that privileges individual choice over communal solidarity and collective flourishing. That's the end of the quote in his letter. And he's just saying this like as if it's a fact. Orwell would love it. Freedom is obedience to the collective and unquestioning conformity to the community. The individual does not matter. What matters is that you conform and obey. Keep in mind that before someone kills you, they dehumanize you. Okay, so this massive kill off they're doing, they have to dehumanize us first. And the collective is the way you dehumanize people. The individual is important. There is freedom only in the collective as far as they are concerned. Individuals can have freedom. The collective is the negation of individual freedom. What America is fighting for is a collectivist world where there is no such thing as national sovereignty, just as there is no individual sovereignty at home. Other nations not only have to obey us, they have to think like us. Morality and individual freedom must be crushed worldwide. America, the United States, is fighting for the great replacement in social relations and the great reset in economic relations. We want to change the world into a world of very few masters and very many slaves. There is no room for a free and independent people and a free and independent nations. Keep in mind that the pedophile Marxist dictator Biden has been paid millions of dollars by both Ukraine and China. We are sending tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine since the war began. As a police investigator, there is a clear link between the Ukraine bribing the Bidens and our support for their war. That connection is even more obvious when you realize that Ukraine is not a vital interest of the American people. Not only is Ukraine not a vital interest, it is actually of no interest to the United States at all. Okay. China has also bribed the Biden family, and the payoff was the U.S. government walking back Biden's commitment to defend Taiwan militarily, giving China the green light to take Taiwan back. Why we fight is to be the dictator of the world and to make the Biden family rich. This may end up costing 90% of Americans their lives. So I'm going to go on next to Putin's June 17th speech, okay? Yeah. In Putin's most recent speech, he said, and I'm quoting, new centers of power have emerged. The unipolar world order is not coming back, and the colonial way of thinking has failed. When the U.S. declared victory in the Cold War, Americans designated themselves as the messengers of God on earth, with interests that should be considered sacred and with no obligations. New centers of power have since emerged and have a right to protect their own systems, economic models, and sovereignty. These truly revolutionary tectonic changes in geopolitics, the global economy, in the technology sphere, in the entire system of international relations are fundamental, pivotal, and inexorable. It is a mistake to suggest that one can just wait out the times of turbulent change and that things will return to normal, that everything will be as it was. It will not. When the U.S. and its allies launched its campaign to cancel Russia over the conflict in Ukraine, they hoped to crash and undermine the Russian economy and society. Excuse me. The sanctions have instead boomeranged on their creators, aggravating social and economic problems, driving up the cost of food, electricity, and fuel, and hurting the quality of life across the West, but especially in Europe. The European Union has completely lost its political sovereignty, and its bureaucratic elites are dancing to someone else's tune, accepting whatever they are told, causing harm to their own population and their own economy. EU citizens will pay the price for decisions divorced from reality and taken contrary to common sense. Policies undertaken by EU and U.S. leaders are exacerbating inequalities and divisions in their societies, not right. just in terms of welfare, but in terms of values and from the demands of society due to serious social and economic changes to degradation, and in the near future, to a change in elites. The 2022 midterm elections and the Democratic Party losing power is what he's talking about. The West spent years turning Ukraine into an anti-Russian state and pumping it full of weapons and military advisors. They did not give a damn about Ukraine's economy or the lives of its people, but spared no expense to create a NATO foothold in the East, directed against Russia, to cultivate aggression, hatred, and Russophobia. All of the objectives of the special military operation will be unconditionally achieved. Okay, so when Biden went to talk to the president of Mexico, Mexican President Lopez Obrador told the pedophile Marxist Joe Biden that what he and NATO were doing in Ukraine is immoral. Pope Francis has come out and stated that what we are doing in Ukraine is a sin against God. Okay?
Yeah.
And the pedophile Marxist Biden regime is not uniting the world or even NATO against Russia. They are delusional.
Yes, they are.
So,
all right. Well, hold on, Mitch. We have to pause on that note. It's right there for all to understand if they want to. Mitch is presenting it each week. Clear as a bell. All right, hold on. Back after this. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Mitch Henderson about State of the World. All right, Mitch, go right ahead.
Okay, so let me get to the situation in Ukraine. From sources in the Ukraine, Russia is winning the war decisively. Europe is growing weary of supporting the war. Its own economy can't self-support, so the war is a drain on them. Russia will not quit under any circumstances. Ukrainians think that Biden is trying to look strong after the Afghanistan debacle, but at their expense. The NATO summit on June 28th will be NATO's funeral. Turkey wants to go to war with Greece, and Hungary wants to go to war with Poland. Exactly how is NATO the most united ever?
Right.
What do we believe of all this nonsense? The fact that Ukraine is losing is even printed in the mainstream media now. It has become too obvious. Part of the change in the flood of reports of by Ukrainian soldiers on the front through social media about how awful their conditions are and how they get no supplies at all. Desertions are up every day, and entire units are abandoning their positions. Two American veterans were captured when their Ukrainian comrades abandoned them on the front, on the field of battle. They belong to a French mercenary outfit called the Baguettes. They will be executed as mercenaries. Of course, the Donbass republics will execute mercenaries in order to discourage foreign fighters from coming to Ukraine to fight. The parents of these Americans are on TV saying that the State Department will do all they can, which is nothing. Under the Geneva Conventions, mercenaries are not legal or protected combatants. The Russians know that is a brainwashed, woke people that they are eliminating. These American mercenaries, even if woke Antifa types, have been designated as trained Nazi domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. So American volunteers in the Ukraine risk death at the hands of the Russians, and then a terrorist watch list get put on the terrorist watch list when they return to the USA. Zionist Satanists always punish those who helped them. As Russia gains momentum, more of the military equipment and ammunition is being sold by officers on the black market, so much so that the troops on the front lines are getting none of it at all. None, not even bad stuff. However, we have shipped so many weapons that you no longer have to have a Sinaloa cartel or MA gang contact to buy javelins and Stinger missiles. Now these weapons are available to all on the dark web. Javelins are going for about $30,000 each right now. The black market in javelins and Stinger missiles is not yet fully developed. These prices will go down. A Ukrainian army source said that there is an effort to ensure that these weapons supply the American militias that our government so hates, because every day Ukrainians are blaming the United States and NATO for fueling the death of their families and friends. Their children are being brutalized by the Ukrainian army. Their daughters are raped by Ukrainian soldiers and sold into prostitution. They're doing this to Ukrainians, not to Russians, okay? Soldiers at the front know that they are not fighting for freedom. They are fighting to enrich the kleptocrats that are running the Ukraine. An attempt was made to pass a law allowing Ukrainian officers to shoot Ukrainian soldiers who disobey orders.
Yep.
The bill was scrapped because there are no Ukrainian officers at the front line to do the shooting. Okay, so they have barrier brigades that have the duty to murder retreating Ukrainian troops. Even they are losing their taste for doing the bidding of a corrupt, callous, and uncaring Zionist Satanist government of Ukraine. Ukrainian mayors are flipping their cities to the Russian side. Zaporizhia and Kherson provinces have declared independence from Ukraine, and Russia has issued passports to their citizens. Yesterday, 80,000 people in Brussels demonstrated to stop NATO's support for Ukraine and to lift sanctions against Russia.
Yep. Yep.
That's a pretty big protest, more than we could ever do in America. In other words, Russia is gaining momentum on all fronts to win World War III. Within weeks, there will be a tipping point, and Russia will begin routing Ukrainian forces and driving them back. A pedophile Marxist Biden regime, loss of Ukraine, will be the nail in the coffin of the regime. My Russian source says that the Biden regime will require a massive crisis to stay in power, and that the Russian government believes that the pedophile Marxist Biden regime would launch a nuclear war with Russia to stay in power. Now, this is what they think. They think that Biden will be so desperate that he will start a nuclear war. A little bit more on that later, on the most recent information I got. Okay. They see the woke Marxist Democrat Party as being desperate to stay in power at all costs. Now it's a time of great danger, because you have an unyielding Russia, a crumbling NATO, and a failed state in America. My source said that in the Russian Ministry of Defense, the consensus is that it is not a question of if there will be a nuclear war, but just when there will be one. They said early voting begins September 24th. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime cannot allow voting to begin. So nuclear war and war with China must begin before that date. The Marxist Democrats must not allow this next election to take place. They know that they are going to lose power, and power is all they care about. Henry Kissinger sees nuclear war coming, and he thinks that if the issue is not resolved by August 1st, things will start spiraling out of control, and we will have lost all control of events. And that's what gaining and maintaining the initiative on the part of Russia is about, making us lose control of events. You should be ready by August 1st, because all hell can break loose after that day. The guns of August, the end of a long, hot summer, is traditionally when there is maximum stress and triggers are likely to be pulled. So let's go over some recent provocations. Okay, the biggest recent provocation was by NATO member Lithuania, who cut off rail service to Kaliningrad, a Russian enclave on the Baltic Sea. Now, this is in multiple agreements that the trains that leave Russia for Kaliningrad are like sealed, and it's not trade, it's not import and export. It's just they agreed in writing to not interfere with this. Well, they're interfering.
No, a lot of it is strategic military material. Everybody knows that, and it's essential for Kaliningrad's defense. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. A blockade is an act of war, period. It's just an act of war.
Yes.
There's no questioning it, okay? Yeah. So what Lithuania did is an act of war. This was a bad calculation on Lithuania's part because it provoked the Russian Duma or Congress to declare that the declarations of independence by Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Finland are in fact illegal, and Russia does not recognize them as independent nations, but legally an integral part of the Russian Federation. Duma Senator Andrei Kimov told the Telegram News that Lithuania is now effectively engaged in direct aggression against Russia. He argues that since it was a Lithuanian attack on Russia first, it is not a violation of NATO for Russia to attack and take Lithuania. Klimov said, this could be construed as a direct aggression against Russia, which is literally forcing us to immediately resort to adequate self-defense. Remember that Russia follows the principles of war, and defense always means offensive operations. The head of Russia's Security Council, Nikolai Patrushev, said yesterday, of course, Russia will respond to hostile actions. Appropriate measures are in the works and will be adopted in the near future. Moscow's response will have serious negative impact on the people of Lithuania. Concomitantly, Gazprom cut Germany's natural gas supply by 60% last week because the German-supplied machine to pump gas was sent to Canada for repairs, and Canada will not ship it back to Russia. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said that there is simply nothing to pump with. This is a man-made crisis created by the European Union. We have gas. It's ready to be delivered. But the Europeans have to give back the hardware so we can pump it. Europe is desperate. They are reopening coal-fired electric plants in spite of their dogmatic faith in the green climate change agenda. Poland and the Czech Republic are allowing citizens to go into the forest to gather wood to heat themselves. This is their desperation. Homes in the United Kingdom are burning down because people are starting wood fires in them to stay warm. However, EU President Ursula von der Leyen stated, and I quote, we have to make sure that we use this crisis to move forward and not have backsliding on the dirty fossil fuels, end quote. Can you imagine such a cold, heartless, uncaring, barren soul who puts a fake science agenda ahead of human life? That is exactly who the members of the World Economic Forum staunchly believe in. So Polish General Stanislaw Kosiarz has called on NATO to issue an ultimatum to Russia to stop missile strikes in the western Ukraine, or NATO will impose an anti-missile protection regime over Ukraine. This would mean war between NATO and Russia.
Correct.
If you hear them issue this ultimatum, run, because nuclear missiles will be following soon after. Nuclear weapons are Russia's edge over NATO, so they will absolutely use them if provoked. U.S. General Wesley Clark, who ran our illegal invasion of Serbia and the theft of Serbian territory of Kosovo from Serbia, stated that the Ukraine will lose the war without direct intervention of NATO in the war. He said if NATO does not intervene in the war, the alliance should be dissolved for uselessness. Hey, General Clark, the Russians can hear you, okay? British Chief of General Staff General Patrick Sanders, said, and I quote, there There is now a burning imperative to forge an army capable of fighting alongside our allies and defeating Russia in battle. If you were Russia and heard such militaristic jingoism, would not you want to be ready for nuclear war? Ukrainian General Marchenko said that once NATO delivers long-range rockets, their number one target will be the Crimean bridge that links Crimea directly to Russia. He said that any Ukrainian promises to NATO to not use weapons they supply them with to directly strike Russian territory are, of course, empty promises on the part of the Ukrainian army. He said the USA and NATO already know that these weapons are explicitly intended to strike deep into Russia. Russia has read and heard this. When Ukraine uses our missiles to strike Russian territory, the game is on. Russia has missiles that will strike American homeland and will use them. In the coming days and weeks and months, the provocations in Russia and by the West will escalate until war is declared. With each day, we are coming closer to nuclear Armageddon. So let me go quickly to the China situation, okay? China has said that the United States is trying to be dominant in Asia, but they have, one, they are starting too late, two, they are offering too little, and three, they're expecting too much. Even ASEAN is not united against China. Cambodia, Laos, Burma, Thailand are all pro-China at this point. These nations get a lot of criticism and orders from the USA and are sick of it. They have been sanctioned by the USA previously for one stupid reason or another and do not see us as a friendly nation. China is building a Navy base in Cambodia, which will be their second, the first being in Djibouti in the Red Sea. That is a choke point for our ships passing through the Suez Canal. Vietnam is siding with Russia and India and now intends to stay out of any war with China. Russia backs India, and India is a reliable partner to Vietnam. The Vietnamese had high hopes for America, but now sees us as completely unreliable. Chinese Foreign Minister spokesman Zhao Lijian stated publicly that the U.S. regularly breaks international laws and condemns others for doing the same. He said that the United States is the single greatest threat to the international order. On May 31st, U.S. Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth said that the Pentagon is proactively planning cooperation between the U.S. National Guard and Taiwan's defense forces. China has consistently warned that U.S. military cooperation with Taiwan not to do it. In the past year alone, the U.S. has crossed every single red line that China has imposed for 43 years. China has said that it will not rule out the use of force to ensure the reunification of Taiwan with the mainland. China accuses the U.S. and Taiwan of collusion and sent a joint air and sea patrol to the Taiwan for what the PLA called practicing the seizure of air superiority and aerial strikes in a simulation of a reunification by force. Because remember, their plan now is to just blockade it and starve it out. On June 6th, China warned Canada against any further provocations after Canadian warplanes flew into Chinese airspace, claiming to be enforcing sanctions against North Korea. On June 19th, Chinese Defense Minister General Wang Fenghe told U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin that China would fight at all costs to prevent Taiwan from breaking away from the Chinese mainland. British economist Martin Jacques observed that, quote, the U.S. is in disarray. Biden has no economic plan for Asia. America's post-Soviet order in Europe is in tatters. It has launched an assault on China without a strategy. The U.S. economy is too weak for it to be the global hegemon. China has replaced the U.S. as the key driver of global growth, and that is demonstrably true. Okay. So what I found out just before the show, in view of everything that I just said, is that NATO troops are right now, they're massing in Lithuania. Lithuania and Poland are going to attack the Kaliningrad enclave on the Baltic in a quick pincer movement. This will initiate nuclear war. I do not know when they will attack. It was supposed to be a to catch the Russians completely by surprise.
Who's going to do the pincer movement, Mitch? Excuse me. Which two?
Well, it's Poland and Lithuania. And they've massed. They're shipping Canadians. They are in UN peacekeeping things all over the world. They're pulling all their troops from all exercises and all peacekeeping things, and they're sending them to Lithuania. The British troops are going to Lithuania.
This is confirmed. This is going on.
Yes,
this is confirmed.
Yes. This is going on. Okay.
The Polish. If I might, it does look like the Polacks are the ones who are really pushing this overtly and in the front. They want this. They're the ones who are the spear on the operation. They're really out of it.
So what is so insane about that is Poland has lost their country in every world war so far.
It's funny.
It's like, I don't know what they think they're doing, you know, but they've always lost. Why do they think they're going to win now, you know? NATO's not all together on this stuff. That's why they were saying that the meeting on June 28th will be the funeral of NATO. Because, see, there's a lot of NATO countries who do not want to get involved in World War III. They do not want this to happen. Turkey absolutely does not. Hungary absolutely does not. And France is trying to be the mediator, okay, the in-between person.
Typical.
French people just had an election, and their election said, we don't want this war. Okay?
And
that was their parliamentary election, which Macron lost.
They always go their own way, the French. I got to hand it to them. They do.
Yeah. Well, they left the NATO command structure a long time ago, so they don't take orders from NATO. Their boss is not in Belgium. It's in Paris. So I don't think France wants to have a nuclear war with Russia. You got to remember, France and Great Britain are nuclear powers, but they only have like 190 nukes. You know, it's not a big nuclear power. Okay. This is where we stand. Things can happen pretty fast. I know there are people who are starting to move. They're starting to, you know, the writing on the wall is so obvious. I even listened to Steve Hilton on Fox News, and he's taken to calling it. He doesn't talk about Biden or nothing. He calls it the Biden regime. If only I could get him to say pedophile Marxist Biden regime.
Boy, I really honor that honesty you always lay out, too. It's totally correct.
So, anyways, I got to apologize for my voice and the little bit of coughing.
It's hot there, isn't it?
The thing is I got COVID for the second time now. And of course, I've never been vaccinated, but this is the second time.
How do you know you have it,
I've
Mitch?
Got the disease.
What test do they give you?
Well, I know it through contact tracing. Okay. My ex-wife, she had the vaccination, and she got sick, and it turned out she had COVID. Well, my son had been over there, and he picked it up. He got sick. Then
he gave it to you.
So I know it's me. And the symptoms I have now are similar to the symptoms the first time. So
But you're still walking and talking. Are you feeling reasonably well? You just got like a bad cold kind of a thing? What do you call it?
It's just a mild inconvenience.
Okay.
It's supposed to scare me to death, but it's a mild inconvenience is what it is.
Yep.
It does not scare me to death. It's a scam.
There's something else running around that is very severe, and I don't think it's what you have at all. I don't know what it is. It could be a hybrid. We don't know. But there's something very sickening going around, and I mean that. It does make
people sick. It's not the monkeypox they're talking about, is it?
No, it's not monkeypox.
Because monkeypox is not a fatal
disease. You have to remember that everybody who's vaxxed now has no immune system. So this virus or whatever can combine, recombine, conjoin forces with influenza. The sky's the limit. Everybody who's been vaxxed is a walking bioweapons laboratory now. That's the truth. That's why you must be careful.
Absolutely true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like when I look at my personal statistics go up. So I know one person who died of COVID. But he died because he was bedridden, and then he formed a blood clot in his leg, and when he sat up, he had a pulmonary embolism and died.
Got
so
it.
The pulmonary embolism killed him, not the COVID.
Sure.
Yet now, I'm up to 7 people I know personally who have died from the vaccination, and they have started a new disease. It's called sudden adult death syndrome.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, they had sudden infant death syndrome. Now it's sudden adult death syndrome.
Well, these people are getting amyloid clots, and they're dying. They're falling over dead. So they had to give a nice little acronym for them to use, SADS. So there you go.
Yep.
All right, my friend. Excellent. Next, I have a feeling that between now and next week, things are going to make some significant changes.
Well, they're going to start picking up momentum. I see within 2 to 3 weeks, the Ukrainian army is going to be routed. Okay, because
losing 1,000 men a day
starts falling and running away. Once they start running, military strategy says you need to pursue. That's the time to attack. Take the Battle of Hastings in 1066. What made William the Conqueror win it is that the fighting was sort of static, and then the British decided to turn and run, and they were absolutely slaughtered when they run. So a rout is what's coming in Ukraine. Okay.
I think you're right.
So can the Biden regime afford to lose another one? We've been talking about escalation on Russia's part, but the United States may actually escalate, you know? We may do it.
Wouldn't be surprised. Thank you, Mitch. Talk soon. Be safe out there.
Okay, you too.
Let me know how you're feeling, all right, when you get a chance. Just keep me posted.
Okay, no, I'm already getting better.
Good.
I just have a persistent cough, that's all.
Very good.
Okay, bye-bye.
See ya. All right. Mitchell Henderson, one of the best analysts in the business, period. All right, we'll be right back with David Oates from, I guess I could call it rather tragic, the current state of Australia and New Zealand. Tragic fits. And then let's top it off with Canada. Oh, my. Back in a minute with David.